All right. Well, well, well. Here we are again. Now, some of you weren't here yesterday, and I think there's a, yeah, I think you can get on the website the audios for this. Is that right? Yeah, that we did. But it was, for those of you who were here yesterday, usually when I finish my training and equipping on freedom, I usually conclude the last message with forgiveness. And the last few times that I've done that or taught this, I couldn't get to the forgiveness message because what happened last night has been fairly normal, is that everybody gets spaced out with breaking generational stuff off and open up a generational highway of blessing that comes down. And so I just hadn't been able to get to it, you know. It's because all of a sudden everybody's like spaced out. It's been doing it, but I really kind of noticed it like I was it's been happening over and over. And then I get the Global Awakening last December, and I do this, their Empowered Conference, and I've done enough time, I've tried to measure up my time, so I can allow that at the end. But everybody's just so wiped out. I mean, like, whew. I go, I can't get to that other message. So I said, we're done, It's like, nobody's going to pay attention to me. They're all like in their own little world getting, receiving downloads from heaven. So I'm going to teach on forgiveness this morning. Since I did, nobody would be listening to me last night, I can tell you that. They're all in their own little world. But it's really a significant message to preach. By the way, for those of you who weren't here, my name is Rodney Hogue, and I travel now. I pastored on the West Coast for about 32 years. I was in ministry in Texas and Oklahoma before that. And then about 4.5 years ago, my wife and I, we felt like the Lord told us to get closer to family, just to walk our parents through this last season of their life. And we moved based on honor is what we did. So we moved there to honor them and walked them through that last season. And that was our pleasure and our joy to do that. So now I just travel. I don't like planes. But I spend a lot of time. It's like I enjoy going. I like when I get there, When I get there, that's good. I like it when I get there. It's like on the trip coming up, we had thunderstorms in Texas, and they don't do really good in thunderstorms. Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, they just like, they space everything out with rain and things like nature. So, I went without luggage for a day, but that was pretty normal for when that stuff kind of happens, because I get redirected one way, the luggage goes in the other way, and they redirect me, so I at least make my destination, not my luggage. You know how that works. But of course, it all works out. Eventually, we all get reunited, which we did. I was happy for that. But all right, let's talk about forgiveness. I really think people would not have any issue with forgiveness if they understood what it was. If they really could grasp what forgiveness really is, there really would not be an issue with forgiving another person. So we're going to start off by just talking about what it is and what it's not. And forgiveness begins with acknowledging that an offense is actually taking place. Because you can't get past it if you don't admit you have it. Like somebody would say to a person, they say, well, Did that hurt you? Did that bother you? And they would, she might respond like, no, I'm okay. Really, it didn't bother me. Well, it seems like it bothered you. No, really, I'm okay. You know, sometimes people say, well, if I admit that I've been offended, then I'm like admitting that I'm like an inferior Christian. You know, in other words, because if I was like a strong Christian, I shouldn't never have an offense. Well, in reality, the issue isn't whether or not you're going to have an offense. The issue is how quickly can you get past the offense? I mean, because we get offended all the time. I mean, some of you got offended just driving here today, you know. Some of you probably came out there and go, there's no parking spaces here. I got to park around the back of the building, you know. I mean, we all get offended. So it's not an issue of whether or not you get offended, because if you encounter people, you're going to get offended. The issue is how quickly can you get past that offense? Can you resolve it very, very quickly? Forgiveness is not saying that it didn't happen to you. Because some people think, well, you know, if I just forgive, then I'm like, it's, you know, you're basically wanting me to say that it never happened. No, it did happen. I mean, forgiveness is not deleting your memory. What forgiveness does, it removes the power of that event off of your life. That's what forgiveness does. It's not saying that what they did was okay. It's not saying, well, I've come to terms with it. All right, okay, I'm good with it now. No, you don't have to be good with it. You don't ever have to say it was okay, I'm fine with what happened. Forgiveness is not saying you were fine with what happened. Again, forgiveness is releasing the power of that event off of your life. Jesus would describe it this way. He would describe forgiveness as forgiving a debt. You know, in that Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, where it says, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? Now, I know some may actually throw forgive us of our sins as we forgive for sinning against you in another place. But it really, Jesus describes it as a debt, because what happens is that if I hurt you and if I offended you, then I've created an obligation that needs to be paid. So if somebody hurts you and you say to them, you owe me an apology, that is correct terminology. Now, so I hurt you, I offended you. Now, I've created an obligation that needs to be paid. Now, you want me to pay. Now, usually the way you want me to pay is that you would like for me to suffer. Because you think if I just suffer enough, somehow you think that you will feel paid back. But in reality, no matter how much I suffer, it will not compensate for your loss. And the other thing that happens is that if you hang on to that debt, then you find yourself bound to your offender. Because you are hanging on to the debt. You're waiting for the day that obligation will be paid, which basically is not going to be payable. It's not going to bring you satisfaction. You're not going to feel compensated. So what happens, I'm waiting for the day that you will basically, you know, pay me back somehow. But as I'm waiting for that, that means that I've attached myself to you until payback happens. Which means you actually bind yourself to your offender until you forgive. So the best way to be free and to be rid of your offender is to forgive them. Release the debt. Just forgive the debt. Let it go. Turn it over to Jesus. Forgiveness is giving up any unrealistic or unfulfilled expectations. Sometimes expectations can be realistic, sometimes they're not, but it doesn't matter. They're just unfulfilled. I mean, for example, you know, whenever my wife and I got married, it was like, all right, we have expectations. We voiced our expectations. I expect this of you. You expect this of me. So we have these expectations. Now, if I don't meet those expectations that we agreed upon, it creates an offense. And so she can forgive me. For, you know, because of love, she will forgive, you know, but if I keep messing up, then it's going to turn into bitterness. It's what it's going to turn into. It's going to turn into bitterness. Sometimes we have expectations for our partners that we don't realize we have until they're violated. In other words, she could have an expectation for me, but she never voiced that expectation. In fact, she didn't even know she had that expectation, but I violate that expectation. And when I did, she could say, well, you know, you did this. And I would say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that was an expectation. And her response would be, well, you should have known. You know, we have expectations as parents. We have expectations for our children. We have expectations for our parents. In fact, some of the expectations of our parents were never met, but they're legitimate. I mean, let's say that you grew up and your parents, you know, weren't able to take care of you, love you, tell you you're amazing. I mean, let's just say that they just, you know, were not kind, or things went on when you were growing up. And it's like those expectations weren't met. And what you're doing is that now you're waiting for the parent to say they're sorry. You're waiting for the parent to say, okay, you know, wake up and smell the coffee and just say, okay, you know, I'm sorry for all, what I did. I'm sorry for your upbringing. I'm sorry I blew it. So we're waiting for our parents to say I'm sorry. But what if your parent or parents have no capacity to do that? What if they have no capacity to say I'm sorry? What if they're emotionally, you know, crippled in a way that is never going to happen? And what happens is that sometimes then people hang on to that expectation, waiting for the one day that their parent will do that, meet those needs, or say I'm sorry for not meeting those needs. And so what happens, a person then will keep their life on hold, waiting for the day for the parent to do that. And that is a wasted life, because you're waiting for something that's not going to happen. I mean, it might happen, but it probably won't happen. So what do? You have to release your parents of that expectation. You have to release them of what you expect them to do, or for not coming through. That obligation that they had, you have to release them of that obligation and not hold that against them anymore, and quit waiting for them to say, I'm sorry. Let it go. And I think you can actually pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I release them. I put them into your hands. But I still have those needs, and you're going to have to come through and meet those needs that my parents could never do. Otherwise, you simply stay stuck in a place of bitterness. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Now, God loves reconciliation, but forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness may be a first step in reconciliation, but reconciliation requires two people. It requires the other person to respond, and you have no control over other people. You cannot make them respond. But even though you cannot make them respond, you must forgive. You're obligated to forgive. But you can't make them. You can't force that. A young man was talking to me one time. He says, well, I can't forgive my father. And I said, well, why can't you forgive your father? He says, well, because he's dead. You see, to him, he had to say it to him in person for it to count. I said, no, the person doesn't have to be present to forgive. You don't have to say it to that person in order for it to count. Okay? You can actually forgive somebody without having to say, I forgive you. But for some people, they don't think it counts unless you actually verbalize it and say it to the actual person. And that was his problem. You may not even know where that person is. I mean, that person may be on the other side of the world. You may not ever have a contact. You may not even want to have contact with that person. But you still are obligated to forgive. Now, having said that, let me say something along those lines. If you have an offense against somebody else, and they don't know that you have an offense against them, do not feel obligated to tell them. Okay, and this is, you know, this happened to me, probably happened to anybody here who's pastors, you know. Somebody come up to me and they said, Pastor Rodney, I just want you to know that I forgive you. Okay. What did I do? And they'd start to tell me something that they, you know, that I did, that most time was like, I didn't know that I did, and on purpose. And a lot of times it really, like, why was that offensive? But anyway, I would say to them, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I offended you. You know, will you forgive me? Yes, I will. Okay, and I'm smiling. They walk away. And what's going on inside of me? I can't believe that person. That was the stupidest thing for them to get mad at. What is their problem? That was nothing. I can't believe that. But on the outside, I may be doing this. You see, what happens is that sometimes when they offend us, it's like we still want to punish them a little bit, so we actually need to say it, you know, because we think somehow that might hurt them a little bit there, or payback, because we think I might get a little more satisfaction if I say it, you know. So let me just, if somebody offended you and they have no idea that they offended you, do not feel obligated to have to say it to them that they did. Unless it is something that keeps getting repeated over and over and over again, and it's like they need to know what they're doing. Now, that's a little bit different, because you're actually helping them, okay, in that process there. But don't feel obligated. Forgiveness is not releasing the proper boundaries that you would put around yourself to keep yourself from being damaged in the future. See, sometimes there are people in our lives that are just not safe. And we know if I cross this emotional boundary, I'm going to get spewed on. So I don't have to subject myself to future damage. So I don't have to release that boundary. I can keep that boundary intact, which means I don't have to cross that boundary to communicate. I can actually stay on this side of the boundary. But I still have to forgive that person. Because sometimes if you cross that boundary, then what may happen is it'll actually create another offense. You know, I mean, if you go to that person that you know is very volatile and you know, they hurt you, they wounded you with the things they said and things they did, and you go to them and you say, well, I just want you to know that I forgive you, then they're going to get an explosion, they're going to spew on you, and that's going to create another offense, right? So there are some people that we emotionally can't get close to, we can't, you know, get next to because they're just not safe. You can't trust them. There may be, like we talked about last night, like a fear bond or something like that. I simply can't get that close to that person. They're controlling, manipulating, or something's going on with that person. But I know that I have to have this emotional boundary around, you know, because I got to protect myself. In that, I don't want to be, you know, scarred again. A lady comes up to me one time and she goes, my husband tells me that I haven't forgiven him. And I said, well, have you forgiven him? She goes, I think I have. But what happened is that he had an affair, and I made a decision to take him back. But, you know, there are times when he gets close, I just like, you know, it just stirs stuff up, and I can't respond. And he says, well, you haven't forgiven me. See, what he's wanting to do, in his mind, forgiveness is returning to a previous state like it was prior to his having this affair. But in reality, you cannot return to that previous state because he did something. And what he has to do now is simply rebuild trust. Forgiveness doesn't mean you trust. You can forgive and not trust. Now he had an obligation. His obligation is to rebuild trust, but he was trying to alleviate himself from that obligation. He was trying to alleviate himself from doing his job to rebuild trust. And so whenever she basically was, you know, she's putting a little emotional boundary right there, he was saying, okay, here's playing that you haven't forgiven me, playing that particular card, where she should be handing back the card, no, I just don't trust you. Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, you got to rebuild trust. My question to her was this: are you allowing him to rebuild trust? or if she's not allowing him to rebuild trust, then yeah, that's true. She probably really hasn't forgiven him. But if she really has forgiven him, then she will give him the opportunity to rebuild trust. But he must understand his obligation. His part is simply to rebuild trust back into her life. Forgiveness is simply releasing you to get on with your life and to fulfill your destiny. It's what it does. In other words, it releases you of the entanglements that keep you from going forward. For example, Joseph in the Old Testament, his brothers they did him wrong, right? I mean, they did him wrong. He ends up getting sold into slavery. He goes over to Egypt, goes into Potiphar's house, ends up going into prison. I mean, he had bad thing, but everything, you know, turned out pretty good for him in the end. His brothers, you know, they come in and finally they bring up the whole family in, and the guys, then they realize that Joseph happens to be the top guy underneath Pharaoh in Egypt, and they're going, oh no. Because they're thinking, what would they do if they were him? You know, they would basically take their revenge. So they're thinking Joseph's going to do the same thing. Joseph doesn't do the same thing. He tells the guys, we're okay, we're good. You know, of course, you're thinking, no, I don't believe that. He's just saying that because dad is alive. And as soon as dad dies, I mean, he's going to take it out on us. And sure enough, the day came that dad died. You know, Jacob died. And so now they're like, Joseph gathered all the sons. And, you know, and you can imagine going, oh, no, we're history now. You know, let's just kiss everybody goodbye because we're not coming back now. So he gathers all of his brothers together. And he says, guys, really, we're good. What you meant for evil, God used for good.
Hallelujah.
We're good. See, Joseph was able to move forward because he lived the life of forgiveness. He was able to forgive. And you see, you have to have a lifestyle that chooses to forgive. And when you do, you release yourself of all of these entanglements that would keep you from going forward. People's lives get stuck whenever they choose not to forgive. Well, there's some consequences. There's some consequences if you don't forgive. One of the things that happens, according to Matthew chapter 18, is the tormentors are released against you. If you remember that particular story, verses 21 through 35, of Matthew 18, there was a guy who owed this king a lot of money. In fact, it was so much money that it was really unpayable. And there's nothing he can really do. And he goes before the king and he cries out for mercy, asks for mercy. The king shows him mercy, forgives the debt. The guy walks away and he's really happy. But he sees somebody who owes him a very small amount of money. Goes to him and says, where's my money? He says, and he asks for mercy. But he doesn't show him any mercy. He chokes him, it says. And then he takes him into debtor's prison, which means that he stays there until somebody pays the debt. Well, that wasn't a smart move for him because somebody told. King drags him back in and says, what in the world were you thinking? You know, I mean, I forgave you of this massive debt and you couldn't forgive of this very small debt? So he put him in, it says he put him into that debtor's prison to be tormented by the tormentors. So who do you think those tormentors are? I think they're demonic spirits. See, what happens is that the scripture says, freely we have received, freely give. And if you don't freely give what you have freely received, then basically what you're doing, you step out of grace. You see, in the middle, when you're in grace, there is protection that is there. You're in the grace of God. Whenever you freely give what you freely receive, you have freely received forgiveness, you can freely give forgiveness. Whenever you choose not to forgive, what happens? You step out of that flow of grace, and now you're unprotected. It's almost like you're just painting a target on yourself, saying, like, oh, torment me. And the enemies are going to come after you because you are now unprotected. Another thing that happens is that you curse yourself. Yesterday we talked about the power of words, for those of you who were here. The power of words. And we looked at that Luke chapter 6 passage. You know where it says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, it, pouring into your lap by your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you. And we talked about how that is in the context of judging. Even though we usually hear that in the context of giving, you know, for the offering. And it does fit with that because it is a principle. You know, but still, it's about what comes out comes back. So in that Luke 6 passage, it says, bless those who curse you, because if you bless, blessing comes back. So what happens is that, you know, when there's bitterness there, blessing is not what's coming out of your mouth. Bitterness is there. You're not just blessing those people. You're usually cursing those people, saying negative things. And so what happens, you're getting a harvest back of all of those words and all of those things that's come out of you. All that judgment has come out of you. All that negativity that's come out of you is now coming back on you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, pouring into your lap. By your standard of measure, it's coming back to you. So you actually can live under cursing because what's coming out of your mouth is not blessing when there's bitterness. Physical problems will happen quite a bit. In fact, those of you who minister in the area of physical healing will know that you will see more people physically healed after they forgive than about anything else. A lady started attending our church. She comes into our prayer meeting. We had Tuesday prayers, and so we had, you know, prayer early in the morning, prayer at noon, prayer at night. And a lady who's just coming to the church, you know, she saw the prayer meeting, so she needed prayer. So she comes in there, and her back was hurting her so bad. She says, "It's hurting me so bad. I don't know what to do." She said, "I'm on Social Security disability because of my back. I've taken everything legally that I can take, and the pain is so excruciating, I just don't know what to do. You know, I just need prayer for my back." And we said, "Sure, let's pray. Let's pray for your back." And as we're getting ready to pray, the Lord speaks to me, and he said, "Ask her about her husband." I said, "Well, tell me about your husband." That man, you won't believe what that man did to me. He left me. I had to raise those kids all by myself. I had to work my fingers to the bone. Yeah, but that was a long time ago, and I'm over it now. Would you like to forgive him? No, I don't want to forgive him. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. He ran off with that floozy, and he just went all over the world spending everything on her. He never gave me a dime. I had to raise my kids. I had to work sometimes two jobs, three jobs. My back's in this problem because of him. But that was a long time ago. And I'm over it now. When she finally forgave him, her back was healed. We were in Brazil one time with my wife and I were in Brazil. We were in Londrina, Brazil, and we're in this large church. And if you've been to Brazil with Randy, you'll know that we always have these ministry times going on, and you have long lines, you know. So you have long lines, and so we had a long line. And this line was about 10 or 12 women in this line. So the first lady comes up, and we say, "How can we pray for you?" She said, I got this pain in my back." And I said, "Okay, well, let's pray for this thing." And as we're getting ready to pray, the Lord speaks to me, and he says, "Ask her if she needs to forgive somebody." I said, is there somebody you need to forgive?" She said, "Yes, there's this man. He hurt me." So we led her to forgive the man, and when she did, she was healed. Amen. Next lady comes up. "How can we pray for you?" "I got this pain in my back." "Okay, getting ready to pray. Lord, just ask her if she needs to forgive somebody." "Do you need to forgive somebody?" "Yes, there's this man. He hurt me." And when she forgave the man, she was healed. Next lady comes up. She said, "I said, how can we pray for you?" She says, "I got this pain in my back. I didn't wait for the Lord." I says, "Is there somebody you need to forgive?" She said, "Yes, there's this man. He hurt me." When she forgave him, she was healed. Next lady comes up, how can I pray for you? I've got this pain in my back. I said, what man hurt you? Every one of those women had a pain in their back. Every one of those women had a man who had hurt them. And every one of them, when they forgave, were healed. I mean, sometimes bitterness will settle into the bones. Now, just because you have bone problems doesn't mean that, you know, there's bitterness there. But bitterness will oftentimes settle into the bones, into the body. And so there's certain things that you just, you know, when you're working with people for healing, you need to ask. And it doesn't matter how long the thing took place. I was in Tucson, Arizona. A lady comes up and she goes, I got to tell you what happened. She says, you know, because I was preaching this message. She said, "She said 20 years ago, I was in a car accident. 20 years ago. And I've had this neck pain ever since then. For the last 20 years, it's been a constant neck pain. I've never known a moment. For the last 20 years, I haven't had this neck pain. And I realized as you're talking, I never forgave the person who ran into me. She says, I forgave him, and now the neck pain is gone. And so, and for the few days I was there, it stayed gone. There may be something that happened a long time ago. Like with that situation, it could have been like the hospital, it could have been the doctors, it could have been the insurance company. You may even need to forgive yourself if you caused the accident. In other words, it could be something happened a long, long time ago. If you still have residue of something that happened a long time ago, look at that and say, is there somebody that I need to forgive? Another thing that happens is that you actually cut off any impartation of blessing that can come if there's unforgiveness. We mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but it's like if I have bitterness against my parents or against my grandparents, then I am unable to receive the blessing that they have, that generational blessing that would come down. Even if they're a scoundrel, there's still something that is in them. So I have to forgive them. I have to let them go. You know, otherwise, so things can clear up and we can actually receive. That's one of the reasons we did that yesterday at the very beginning, just take some time to forgive people before we moved into that. If somebody were to come up to me when I was pastoring, and they were to say, you know, Pastor, we feel like we're going to be leaving and going to another church. And I would ask them, why do you feel like you're supposed to be doing this? If they said to me, well, you know, Pastor, we're just not getting fed anymore. I would say to them, how have I hurt you? Because if there is an offense, they can't receive from me anymore. If there's an offense that is present, you know, they can't hear from me. They can't receive from me anymore. Because I tell you what, I know it's not the preaching, you know. That was, you know, everybody else seems to be getting it pretty good, you know. No. But that's one reason people leave churches, they leave small groups. It's because they can't receive from you anymore because they're holding on to an offense. So they just leave. Okay? So you cut off the impartation or the blessings that somebody else can give you. And what happens is that your offender still has power over you until you forgive. A man comes in my office one time. Somebody sent him, you know, he wasn't a part of our church. He comes in, he sits down, young guy in his 30s. And he sits down. He's got, he's got like carpal tunnel things on his wrist and stuff like this. He's got all these physical problems going on. And he's going on with all this whole litany of all these things about can't hardly keep a job. You know, his family's a mess. His relationship with his kids are a mess, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he just went down this whole litany of all these physical problems he had. I mean, he was just going down this thing over and over again. But then he ended it with saying, and it's all my mother's fault. I said, okay, you know, would you like to forgive your mother? No, I don't want to forgive my mother. She didn't deserve to be forgiven. And bang, then he goes on to talk about how, you know, it's all her fault. She's in his life. She will not leave him alone. She messes with his relationship with his wife and his kids, blah, 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 blah. You know, he just... And so I tried to tell him all the reasons why he should forgive, but nothing was working. I mean, he wasn't hearing anything. He wasn't getting it. So I said, okay, Lord, we're going to have to change strategies here. So I said, well, okay, where's your mother right now? He said, well, she's home. Probably, yeah, she's home. What do you think she's doing? Watching TV. Is she happy? Oh, yeah, she's fine. So she's good, right? No, does she have any problems? No, she's fine. So your mom is home. Physically, she's fine. She's good in every way, and she's happy, watching TV, not a care in the world. Yeah, that's where she is. And then I say, well, and where are you? He goes, well, I'm here in your office. Yeah, but you're getting even with her, aren't you? I mean, you're really hurting her as she's home and happy and fine watching television, and her life is good. But you're really hurting her and punishing her. All of a sudden, he began to realize he wasn't punishing her; he was just punishing himself. He began to realize, okay, I'm not getting even with her; I'm just hurting me. So. Bitterness is nothing more than just unfulfilled revenge. And it is never your job to take your revenge. See, what forgiveness does, it releases the offender into the care of Jesus, who is our just judge and who is our defender. You, nobody ever gets off the hook. You just move them from your hook to Jesus' hook. Romans 12:19 says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God.
Amen.
For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So it's not your job. That's God's job. Okay? So I need some volunteers for this. Lisa, thank you. Ralph, come on up.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
No, stand right here. Right there. Okay, Lisa, I want you to, you stand right here. Okay, right there. So, let's say that Ralph hurt Lisa.
Oh.
All right? So, in fact, I'm actually going to get you a little closer here. So, let's say Ralph hurt Lisa. But let's say that Lisa decided that she's going to hang on to that offense. So what Lisa does, remember, she attaches herself to her offender because she's not letting him go. She's waiting for payback. She's waiting for him to pay back and for him to suffer enough or whatever. So she's waiting for payback. So she's holding on to that offense, okay? Now, let's say I'm God, and since it's my illustration, I get to be who I want to be. So you stay right there. So anyway, the scripture says, do not take your own revenge, because whose job is that?
God.
That's God's job to do that. Okay? So what is happening here is that God would like to take care of Ralph. But the problem is, for him to take care of Ralph, guess who he has to go through? He has to go through the one who decided to do God's job and basically do his, you know, to hang on to the person. So now for God to deal with Ralph, because you've attached yourself to, she's attached herself to Ralph, God has then to go through Lisa, which he's not going to do. So guess who's getting off because you chose to do God's job?
Ralph's
getting off. So what happened? God was, I'd like to do my job, but the problem is that Lisa decided to do God's job. And you know, and I want you to know that you stink at doing God's job. I mean, you stink at doing God's job. Okay? So, but God said, I would like to do my job, but the only way I can do my job is for you to quit doing my job, release him, and when she releases, then God basically gets the direct shot to Ralph. Come on up here. Don't be running off yet.
God, God's in
That just created an offense, didn't it? That's right. But we know Ralph can forgive, you know. Okay. You need to understand this, that person who offended you, you have to let them go in order to put them in God's hands.
Amen.
Otherwise, they are getting off. Because you decided to do God's job. Okay, now, that passage that's quoted in the Romans chapter 12 is taken from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it says this. You know, I mean, God says, I will repay. That word, I will repay, it is the Hebrew word shalem. The Hebrew word shalem, okay? The root word for that is shalem, which is the same root word for shalom. So it's in the same word group of that shalom is in. They both have the common word with that, okay? So what happens, you actually bring God right into the middle of the situation here. And you remember when I said that forgiveness creates an obligation, it creates a debt, and that person really doesn't have the capacity to pay back? Guess who has the ability to compensate for your losses? Shalem.
Hallelujah.
God can pay you back. See, what happens is that when you turn it over, that person can't pay you back for your loss, but God can compensate you for all of your losses.
Amen.
He will give you what you need. Okay? Often, and what he'll do is that then he will deal with your offender, not the way you want him to deal with it, because you might want him to suffer a little bit there. But God's going to deal with them according to their destiny, according to what they need to come into their destiny, because he's a God who's gracious. He's a God who's merciful. He's a God who has an eye on people's destiny. He won't deal with them the way that you want them, but he will deal with them in such a way in order to bring him into their destiny. So you actually are hindering people from coming into their destiny. Just like that one pastor who says, if you forgive, then they are forgiven, right? So when you're forgiving, then you're putting them in that place to where they can actually, God can deal with them and bring them into their destiny.
Hallelujah. Wow. He's an awesome God.
Thank you, Lisa. Freely you have received, freely you can give. Which means that God gives you the power to forgive as Jesus forgave. Just as Jesus was hanging up there, suffering as like he was, can look at the people and say, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. That kind of power to forgive is in you. There's not any wound or debt that you can go through that is greater than your debt that you created against God. And he forgave you. And you can forgive. You have the capacity. Don't say, well, I can't forgive. That's a lie from hell. Do not believe that. You're listening to another voice that's not God's. You can. Because he's given you the grace to forgive. He's given you the power to forgive. I wrote that little book on forgiveness. I was talking to the people who were here yesterday, but not all of you were. Let me just kind of mention that. I wrote it for, you know, three reasons. Number one, I wrote it, you know, to lessen my counseling load, you know, because I made people read it before they came in. And it did. It lessened it because people took care of stuff or people knew we were going to talk about it, didn't want to talk about it, so they didn't make an appointment either. So it did get lighter, you know. The second reason is that people have to work it through. Yeah. People have to wrestle it through. And it helps people wrestle it through. I was in Redding one time, Redding, California. We had a healing meeting going on there that Randy and Bill do together every year. I was just attending because I had meetings with Randy. It's in the convention center. I'm just walking down the aisle, and a lady starts yelling at me and starts running towards me. And she goes, I got to tell you, I got to talk to you. And she goes, I buy your book by the case. I work in the downtown portion in Redding in a mission. the mission. So we work with the people on the street and things like that. She said, I got to tell you about one family. There's a guy that's read your book through 8 times, and every time he's read your book through, he's been healed of something differently every time he's read it through. He said, but the miracle was his mom, who was in Colorado, and she was dying of cancer. Angry, bitter, she wasn't a believer. Mad at the world, mad at God, mad at everybody else. He said his sister took that book and met with her mom. And of course, her mom was in hospice, so she was a captive audience. She wasn't going anywhere. Read that book through 3 times with her. And on that, you know, after that third time through, she forgave God, she forgave herself, she forgave all those other people, gave her heart to Jesus. And she says within a few days, she was seeing Jesus face to face. She said, thank you for the book, because she was able to wrestle it through and understand it. And she's in heaven because of that. I have, those stories are pretty prevalent. I get those stories all the time of the way that people have worked it through. The third reason I wrote it is because it doesn't stop with just forgiving. The feelings of unforgiveness may still remain because you have a mindset that's still in agreement with bitterness. And so we have to simply tear down a stronghold of bitterness, and we have to put in a stronghold of righteousness, which is going to be a stronghold of compassion. You see, when you replace bitterness with compassion, because when the Lord's compassion is in you, that's why he was able to say, Father, forgive them, because you see, he was ruled by compassion. And so the book, the second half of the book, talks about how to build a stronghold of compassion. It's what it deals with. So that's really why the book, because all everything I read just simply stopped with just forgive. And then a few months later, somebody comes up, I still have these feelings of unforgiveness. Did I really forgive? And I said, yes, you forgave. But you got a mindset that's in agreement with bitterness. We got to change that. We got to tear that one down and put in compassion. So it kind of gives you some helps in order to do that. Okay? So that's why I wrote the book. You know, we still have a few copies of it back there that you can purchase if you wanted to. Well, what we're going to do is that we're going to release and forgive people. You can forgive yourself. That's in the book, too. You know, because when we hurt, because a lot of times we blame ourselves, you know. And even though God, like, doesn't really sin against us, we still hold stuff against him. You know, we can even, God doesn't mind us forgiving him, because it opens up the communication. He doesn't take it personally, you know. But, yeah, we have to forgive ourselves.
How do you know? What's the proof of your forgiveness? How do you know when your forgiveness, you're really forgiving?
Well, usually, it's your heart. I couldn't tell that by listening to you, but your heart before God. I mean, just you talk to God. Says, "What is it genuine?" You'll know if you're genuine or not.
I can tell if people are forgiven because you can hear it in their voice.
Yeah.
When they're speaking, there is a tone that changes when people are thinking.
Yeah.
Because you can talk about a situation and there's an edge in your voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you can talk about a situation that you've forgiven and it's a more softer.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I just say, work through the compassion part. So why don't we stand? But yeah. Yeah. We're going to, because we need to do this. Talk to me later.
No, I just want to make a comment about this. When you know compassion.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
My understanding is that you start to pray for their well-being.
If you start to pray for their well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you start blessing them, yeah, that's part of that building that compassion too. You know, start praying for them. So if there's somebody that you need to forgive, remember, forgiveness is like we do this one person at a time. It's not, Lord, I forgive everybody. You know, I mean, we can pray that prayer, and I think that may help set our mind the way it wants to be. But the Lord's going to, he may bring up certain individuals in particular that we need to forgive. Okay? So we're going to work on one person right now, and then you can actually, you know, when you get time with Jesus, if you got a whole list of people you need to forgive, you know, that you've been hanging on to, then work through the list with the Lord, okay? Okay. One thing I do expect is that some of you have particular issues, physical issues right now. So if you've got issues like in your bones, you know, I saw left shoulder and elbows and, you know, left knees. I mean, those are some of the things that were kind of coming to my mind. If, you know, if you got anything in your body or any pain in your body, this may be attached to that if there's somebody that you haven't forgiven. Okay? So I want you to pay attention also after we finish to see if there's something different that's in your body, okay? So we're going to do a prayer, and you're going to just repeat after me. And think about the one person, okay? Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I choose to forgive as I've been forgiven.
I now choose
to forgive this offender.
I release any right
that I have retained
to bring revenge.
I release them from my hands
and place them into your hands.
Jesus, my just judge.
I break every curse
that I've sent to them.
And I call forth a blessing towards them.
Now, just as you stay in a posture receiving, I just say, Holy Spirit, I ask you begin to descend upon us and just cleanse us of that area. And I just speak to these bodies. Any part, any body, portion of the body, any bones, any joints, any pain. Father, I command that to go in Jesus' name. Anything that's been tied to that bitterness, Lord, we just now ask you just to wash it through and cleanse it in Jesus' name.